Hello and welcome to the Opening Bell, the Boxing News Weekly podcast. I'm with my friend and colleague John Dennan.
Hello.
I'm a little bit bleary-eyed after we record this at about midday on Wednesday. And I sat up till 2 a.m. waiting for Floyd Mayweather to begin his public workout at his gym in Las Vegas. It was supposed to start at 12 our time. I think he eventually turned up at 2:30. Did you sit up and attempt to watch it, John?
I watched an hour or so of photographers milling about an empty ring for a while. So it was just enough to wake me up, but I gave up after a while. I've caught up with it now, though.
I've only seen a couple of flashes of it this morning. As I say, I went to bed in a bit of a strop last night after all that, knowing that I'd only going to get about 3 hours sleep.
I can tell you what happened.
I mean, but what's the deal with Floyd Mayweather turning up 2.5 hours late? Is that a I'm Floyd Mayweather, therefore I can do what I want, and I'm going to do what I want?
Superstars operate on their own time. I was covering Manny Pacquiao's last fight for Boxing News, and we did have to wait for hours for him to show up for his sort of workouts in the couple of afternoons before he fought. So you were sitting around in this gym for ages waiting for something to happen. But then when he got there, he trained for ages, so there was sort of plenty to see. I don't know, in boxing everyone's always late, aren't they?
Yeah, not that late though. That was ridiculous, wasn't it? It was a bit ridiculous. I mean, you say you've caught up on it this morning. Was it worth the wait?
If you were sitting up till sort of 3:30 in the morning to watch it in the UK, you're probably better off logging on to www.fightofthecentury.co.uk to watch it all now. But it was sort of, I think it was fairly standard stuff. It was, you know, his familiar pad routine that he went through. He sort of ramped up slightly, then sort of hit the body belt, got on the bag. Sort of, you know, interesting to see, but it was, you know, he worked up a light sweat. I don't think he revealed anything for even about how he's been approaching his training, because I think this silence from the Mayweather camp is a sign that they are locked down, training hard. And I think this was just what it was, a public workout. He went through some moves, more of a photo opportunity. And then moved on. Worth watching. I mean, worth watching though, just maybe not worth watching at 3:30 in the morning if you've got work to come to the next day.
These public workouts this close to a fight, you can never gauge anything really, can you?
No, it is, but it's also quite tempting to, having said that, it's quite tempting to read into it what you suspect you might see. You know, his hands still looked fast, you know, his jab's quick. When he sort of let his right go, it made me wonder, like, is it, you know, is he training for power? We had an interview with Sky's Adam Smith, who'd been in their respective camps, and he was saying that he thought Mayweather was training for power and wanted a knockout. So maybe I was looking at it to, you know, look to see if he was throwing some power shots. But yeah, you can't read too much into that one. But having said that, the Manny Pacquiao one I went to ahead of the Chris Algieri fight, we've probably said on this podcast before, Algieri was quite a persuasive talker. And then when I saw Pacquiao bouncing around in the gym and like smashing the pads, I thought, oh dear, Algieri's done for now.
Yeah.
So in that sense, maybe it sort of corrected slightly the way I'd been seeing the fight. Not that I thought Algieri was going to win, okay.
You did. you mentioned earlier it's probably not a good idea to stay up if you had work tomorrow. The reason I did stay up, of course, is you mentioned it earlier. Gave the web address a little name check, www.fightofthecentury.co.uk. That you can get there as well directly from our boxing news site. I mentioned it last week, but probably I think I banged on a bit about it actually last week.
I drifted off. during the
but no, period. But the micro site is live now, and we're all quite proud of it, and we've had a fair bit of positive feedback from people on social media. But do go and check it out. We're quite confident that it's probably the most extensive online coverage you're going to get of Mayweather-Pacquiao, certainly up to this point. It does stretch back over 100 articles. There's also everything that brings it up to date. There's the full story of the fight. There's profiles on each. And also there's things like last night's training session that you could have watched at 3:30 a.m. should you have so desired.
But you can now watch it straight from the training bit.
Yeah, so
at your leisure.
Yeah, so we've cut out the 2.5 hours of nothingness.
Of Kieran Mulvaney manfully trying to fill the time.
So yeah, go and check it out, and we will have, I'm not sure when this podcast will be going live. But all being well, Manny Pacquiao, we will be bringing you live from the micro site as well.
I'll stay up for that one, Matt.
Yeah, I think I kind of drew the short straw with that, really, looking back. not only was Floyd Mayweather going to start an hour later than Pacquiao is scheduled to, he's also was ludicrously late. I can't imagine. Pacquiao actually tweeted last night, didn't he, saying
that he's going to be early, not just on time, but early.
Yeah.
But I'll believe that when I see it.
But I think we can safely say that Manny Pacquiao's training session will be done and dusted by the time that Mayweather started.
Yeah.
I
suppose so. He might train for a while, you know.
He might do.
My experience of boxing so far as a journalist has involved a lot of waiting around for stuff to happen.
It's true. It's very
Maybe
true.
That's just me. Maybe I'm just a natural sort of lurker.
You do lurk well.
Thanks, mate. It's a gift and a curse.
Do you think we'll see anything new from Manny Pacquiao that we haven't seen before? Or are we going to see the usual incredible hand speed, the natural ferocity?
Because when I saw him training live, I was really impressed by it. I was a lot more, you know, he was training a lot harder than I was expecting. I was expecting him to just go through the motions. And, you know, that was out in Macau, and he was, so it wasn't quite such a big media circus. There were already, you know, there were a few hardy souls out there. A massive Manny Pacquiao entourage, but he was training seriously, and that made me think, wow, he's taking this even, and that was just the Algeria fight. Maybe we'll, so I'm expecting to see that kind of thing, but maybe we won't. Maybe we'll see him just going through the motions, and maybe we won't find out much about, you know, these calf cramps or whatever's going on. Because it was striking. Ahead of the last fight, the way he was sort of darting in and out on the balls of his feet, and he just looked so powerful and mobile. So it will be interesting to see if he is like that. But he might, again, the stakes are so much higher in this fight, you can expect him to be a lot cagier than he was last time around. They might not want to show anything, and even last time around they didn't, you know, people weren't allowed to film him on the pads or something.
We spoke last week that not a great deal had gone on in terms of marketing and promotion. Both camps pretty quiet, I think, which we can take as a sign that they are exceptionally focused, more so than they've been for any fight before. But if I can draw a positive from last night's 2.5 hour spell, just sat in front of my laptop waiting for something to happen, was now and again we'd get the Showtime kind of trailer.
I do like that, but...
Yeah, now and again we'd get that. And that we get little snippets of the press conference, and all of a sudden it's becoming quite real that these two are going to get in the ring at last, and it really is getting exciting now, isn't it? And let's face it, I mean, but at the same time, when I thought it last night, I think it was Kieran Mulvaney or his crazy co-host,
he's loud.
said, you know, we've just about 2 weeks to go now.
Yeah,
it does seem that we have missed something. something hasn't happened that we've missed, maybe. Do you know what I mean? I think back to, and there's a little bit about it in the editorial this week in the Boxing News. You know, you think back to like Floyd Mayweather turning up to press conferences with a caged chicken and just literally driving Oscar De La Hoya around the bend. And that build-up seemed to go on and on and on. And I remember the Ricky Hatton Floyd Mayweather build-up where Floyd Mayweather turned up to Manchester, and I think it was raining. Ricky Hatton, obviously a big Manchester City fan, and Floyd Mayweather turns up in the red of Manchester United. And, you know, we haven't seen anything like that.
Yeah.
But you do sense that although their rivalry has been building and building and building, I think it's fair to say that a big part of that rivalry is respect. And I think perhaps a big part of why they haven't fought until now is also respect in a curious way, in that they do really respect each other and they know what the other one brings. I am now getting excited. It is all starting to become reality.
Exactly, yeah. I was just about to say, it suddenly feels real now.
Yeah.
There are only 2 weeks to go. And sort of over the last couple of weeks, you know, we've had the silliness of biscuits and diamond encrusted mouthpieces.
Yeah.
But now we can sort of, you know, now we've got a glimpse of them. We've got a glimpse of them training. We start thinking seriously about how the fight's going to go. You know, what each man should be doing to win. Is it going to be as we, you know, it just feels like after 5 long years, it's taken forever to get anywhere near to this fight. Now suddenly the time is evaporating so quickly, and before we know it, you know, they're going to be in a ring in the MGM and it's going to be on.
How much would it ruin your life if between now and May 2nd the fight was cancelled for whatever reason, an injury or something along those lines? And also, not just your life, but it would be a savage, savage body blow to boxing, wouldn't it, at this point?
Yes, but the good thing is that they agreed to fight, so
yeah.
Even if there was an injury or a delay, you think the basic foundations for a deal are now in place, that it could be rescheduled.
Yeah.
So you'd hope that, that they could sort of reschedule it rather than it just drift apart. So it would, rather than being bad for me in my life, it would enrich it, because we could spin this out even longer. I could get my head around the fact that Mayweather and Pacquiao are actually fighting each other. Because wasn't Foreman cut ahead of the Rumble in the Jungle?
He was, yeah.
So, you know, if you need me to stay in Las Vegas for another 2 months,
that's something.
I'll send my expenses bill over, that'll be fine.
Your flights are all booked, aren't they? Your flights are all booked.
My flights are booked.
Is your hotel booked?
I hope so.
Is that still tentatively so, or is that all booked now?
It's booked.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, and likewise, my flights and hotel are all booked now, so.
Oh, I've got an amazing trip coming up.
You have? I think we spoke about it last week, did we not?
I can't remember.
So you're going to Chicago.
For Badu Jack.
Which we initially, when we initially came up with that idea, that was supposed to be to cover
James DeGale. Yeah, if DeGale was on that bill, my life would be perfect. As it is, it's very good. Because then I'm on to New York
for Klitschko against Jennings, which, yeah, is fantastic. And then on to Las Vegas. Three places to visit in America: Chicago, New York, and Las Vegas. Not bad. World heavyweight title fight at Madison Square Garden thrown in, as well as the biggest fight in the history of boxing. You should feel very, very lucky indeed, John Dedden.
I do, but...
But sincerely you should, because there's a danger that you might come across a little smug.
There's always that danger with me, Matt.
Yeah.
I do feel it's an honour and a privilege, and I'm very happy about it.
Yeah, well, that's good.
I feel like I'm being told off.
Okay, so for those of you listening to this fairly rapidly on Wednesday, do tune in to Manny Pacquiao on the micro site. Watch it via that platform, that'd be brilliant. www.fightofthecentury.co.uk. It's fairly easy to remember, but if you are struggling, you can access it from our usual boxingnewsonline.net site as well. Last weekend, fairly busy weekend. Josh Warrington came through a bit of a struggle, but ultimately he came through it. It was a bizarre card up there. Various things going on, long rounds, short rounds. Only in boxing though, really. But I mean, the fights that really grabbed my attention for the weekend was what came a few hours later in Brooklyn, in Barclays Center. And I was up and I was doing a blog from home. And, you know, I admit, I mean, these blogs that we do, these live blogs that we do kind of, or I have attempted to kind of score these things, but you do have to remember that our view is generally blocked by a computer screen at times. We are kind of typing and looking up and looking down. But my impression when the Andy Lee, Peter Quillen fight after the first 3 minutes was that Andy Lee would do very well indeed to get through another 3 minutes after the end of that first round. The fact that he came back to thoroughly earn a draw is absolute credit to the Irishman. And if you look at what Andy Lee has done in his last three fights, against John Jackson he was struggling, he was under the cosh, and he kind of uncorked that absolutely wonderful shot, which I think was my favourite knockout of last year. He went in against Matt Korobov. Not many people fancied him to do that again. I think he was behind on the cards. And he upset the odds to stop Korobov in the sixth round. And now he came back from almost certain disaster, it looked to me, to get the draw. Yeah. What was your... Because, I was typing away. You were watching it.
Yeah, I thought like you said, I thought he was in real trouble at the start with Quillen. You know, I couldn't see how he was going to get out of that tight spot, but not only did he, but, you know, he hurt Quillen in return, came on strong, thoroughly deserved the draw, like you say. So, yeah, I'm not quite sure how he managed to turn it all around, but he did. It was interesting, before the fight, he was saying that, you know, he's going to get off to, you know, he's going to lead from the start this time around. That didn't happen, but once again, Andy Lee showed that he can find a way to get through. And if, you know, if not win, not lose his world title. It was very exciting what lies ahead for him. They're big fights there for Andy Lee, aren't they? You don't want, now he's sort of a must watch fighter. You don't want to miss him.
Well, yeah, his last three fights have all been thoroughly, thoroughly entertaining. And also I think what Andy Lee will probably take heart from is the fact that even though he's been a pro for a number of years now, is that he went 12 rounds and he looked solid enough doing it. He was vulnerable early on, but, you know, perhaps, I mean...
Let's not forget, Quillen is not only a big middleweight anyway, he also came in overweight.
Of course.
So, you know, he was in there against a bigger man.
Of course, yeah, no, absolutely.
Quillen surely has to go up to super middleweight now, right?
Yeah, you'd think so now, particularly with the fact that he came in over the limit. There was nothing there, though, you would think, to trouble Gennady Golovkin. I didn't see anything there where I thought either of those guys would trouble Gennady Golovkin. Or am I underestimating Andy Lee again?
Let's face it,
if he was to be put in the trouble that he's been put in by Jackson, Korobov and Quillen against Golovkin, he wouldn't find a way out of that trouble.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think Golovkin is very much the best middleweight in the world at the moment. But in terms of the top guys of the division, you've got to rank Andy Lee pretty highly now. You know, Andy Lee Cotto, what would happen?
No, that's an intriguing fight, and I think perhaps because of, you know, the great career that Cotto's had, the win over Sergio Martinez tops anything Andy Lee's done. So Cotto would start as favourite, but with such a, You know, we'd be interested to see how Cotto looks at his next fight.
Yeah.
So likely he'll have a big name in there.
And Andy Lee's reach and power. But potentially, for Cotto.
Yeah, completely. And potentially Andy Lee could come along at completely the wrong time for Miguel Cotto.
Yeah.
So a lot of interesting, you're absolutely right, a lot of interesting fights for Andy Lee. The undercard, which we had a bit of a, sorry, the chief, no, it was the main event,
the
actually.
Main event over there.
It was a main event in Brooklyn. I think for a lot of the guys that listened to this, it would have been kind of the support in their mind.
Yeah.
But it was a fantastic matchup between two world light welterweight champions, Lamont Peterson and Danny Garcia. Now, we did have a grumble, and I think that we were right to grumble about the fact that that was made at catchweight. That was, it almost seems to be that's Al Haymon kind of throwing his fingers up to the governing bodies in a way.
Yeah.
Also kind of an indication of what he has in mind for both of those guys. Perhaps Garcia is certainly looking at welterweight. And the fact that the titles, I don't think even the Quillen title was mentioned in the, was mentioned before or after. And of course, all the announcements are very much toned down. It is very much get in there and do the business. And it's,
which I like. You know, the entourages are out of the ring. They can
get
onto it. Though I wouldn't mind a more elaborate ring walk. Either. I know it's not
it's
a big
curious.
Deal,
it's,
but
no,
I do
it's
like
curious.
It in Europe when they have a big sort of show.
It's a curious tactic from Al Haymon, and I think he certainly deserves a pat on the back for some of the fights that he's made.
Yeah, those are good matches.
And I think the more fights that he does continue to make and the rules and regulations behind them give us more and more clues of what he sees his master plan as and what the end goal is. You know, we mentioned a couple of weeks ago in Boxing News about the rumours surrounding there's going to be NBC World Champions.
PBC.
Pardon?
PBC.
PBC, sorry, PBC World Champions.
I mean, that's TBC.
Like it. PBC World Champions, and I don't know, does that eradicate the problem of the governing bodies? Unless you've got everybody fighting for PBC titles, it just creates muddier waters, I think.
And we don't really know if that's going to happen or when.
No, we don't. But you sense that he's kind of leading us somewhere new to a whole new. There must be a reason why these governing bodies are just more or less being ignored.
Yeah.
But I do, on the whole, there's some positive signs from Miami. But let's talk about. Sorry, I kind of as ever went banging on. What did you make of the Lamont Peterson, Danny Garcia? I was scoring it while blogging. I thought Peterson won it big.
I wasn't properly scoring it, but I did. It did look like Peterson, you know, Garcia may have banked some of the early rounds, but I thought Peterson came on stronger and stronger, and definitely looked like the winner at the end to me.
He did look like the winner at the end. It wasn't like a robbery along the lines of, say, Jersey Joe Walcott, Joe Lewis, which it didn't leave me absolutely disgraced, but I was certainly surprised. But then you kind of see things like, it's a fix. And I've been working in boxing for quite a while now, and I genuinely don't think it was a fix. I think you could make an argument if you watch it back for those scores. And also, on the same card, we've got the judges getting it absolutely spot on, I think, with the draw. It's just so subjective. I mean,
yeah.
What is there anything we can do to kind of appease the fans' fears?
You know, I wouldn't mind having a clearer system for reviewing scores. Maybe that can just, it could justify them, it could order a rematch, it could, you know, would it be so bad to overturn the decision afterwards? So, you know, sort of like a clearer appeal process. But yeah, I suppose it'd be quite tricky to implement in reality. I don't think that would be the end of the world. But then maybe then after every fight you'd have to wait half an hour while protests flew in and
it's difficult.
Were reviewed. Yeah.
It's the sport is very, very difficult. It's not like I don't know, you can see how kind of things like, you know, we get the, is it the eagle eye? What's it called in tennis?
Hawkeye.
I'm all over the place again today. Yeah, the Hawkeye in tennis, you can see kind of the natural breaks where that works and kind of the, you know, we've experimented with goal line technology and what have you. And I think that's the way the sport is going. And I think boxing has ultimately got to embrace that somehow. But okay, we get the minute breaks in between, but it's a difficult sport to kind of do that, isn't it?
Yeah, and because it is, you know, a knockout is as objective and conclusive as you can get, but a decision
exactly.
is subjective. You know, it's not a round, isn't even decided by just number of punches landed, which in itself is sort of depends on perception, but it is decided by other factors like control and style and aggression and
exactly.
So it's always going to be, it is always going to be subjective. So there are always going to be debates about scoring, but that doesn't mean things can't improve. And whether that's putting structures in place to sort of, you know, review decisions, rate them, that kind of thing.
Lamont Peterson, it would seem, I mean, I'd be surprised to see these two fight again. Didn't think it was a barn burner of a fight. I thought it was pretty drab, to be honest with you, through the first seven or eight rounds. It did improve a bit over the last quarter. So Lamont Peterson, who openly beforehand was saying, well, look, I can make light welter, he goes back down to lightweight, or I guess Danny Garcia, it would seem, is heading towards a welterweight division. It wasn't the best rehearsal to enter the kind of the big name welterweight division, was it?
Exactly, and he didn't, you know, and Peterson looked like the bigger man, even though he was the one saying he can make light welter. But then maybe Garcia, you know, I think it's probably true, he has struggled to make light welter, so maybe going up in weight will be beneficial for him. I think, you know, look at someone like Amir Khan, he didn't look like a massive light welterweight, but after sort of nervy, difficult fights, now he's got more used to 147. He suddenly looks a lot better and a lot sturdier at welterweight than he did at light welterweight. So it might not be as bad as it looks for Danny Garcia, even though he seems to have been drifting in the wrong direction since that great win over Lucas Matisse,
which of course brings us on to the action this weekend. I've got to be somewhere really soon, so I'm gonna have to kind of. But let's talk about the weekend's fights. Certainly, Matisse Provodnikov, has ever a matchup looked more like fight of the year beforehand?
Yeah, no, just on paper.
Perhaps Matisse Garcia, but this is even more so, isn't it, Matisse Provodnikov?
Yeah, they're both. Yeah, it's just. Yeah, if you don't fancy Provodnikov's going to get out of the way as well as Danny Garcia did. So they're both going to be in each other's way. Dropping bombs, I think it's going to be good.
Yeah, absolutely. You favoured Provodnikov, didn't you? I don't think it's... There's no wild prediction here. Absolutely anything can happen. It's feasible that it will go 12. They've both shown that they can do that. It's feasible that it could be a knockout really early on. They've both shown that they're capable of administering that. Perhaps Provodnikov, though, has not looked quite as vulnerable as Matisse has, but at the same time, he hasn't been in with anyone like Matisse, has he?
No, but having that immense war with Tim Bradley, and Bradley's like an outstanding, I think, you know, a real class fighter. You know, that could be telling. Maybe it's more Garcia made Matisse look bad when they fought. Maybe that sort of impression is lingered with me. But yeah, it's one of those fights. I don't know what's going to happen, but I think it's going to be good.
What else is going on the weekend, John?
Julio Cesar Chavez Jr.
against Fanfara.
Yep, Andres Anders.
That could be a thriller.
Fanfara. Yeah, knowing. Because what, on paper, you'd think. On paper, you'd think Chavez, you know, should win it all right, but you never know with him.
what else is going on?
Terence Crawford moving up to light welterweight to fight for the WBO title against Thomas Storm, if I'm pronouncing his name right. Crawford's going to be one to watch it that way.
You'd think so.
Quality fighter.
It's not that long ago, though, that Delorme, but I don't know.
You know better than me. No, I don't.
You're far better at pronunciations than I am.
I didn't pronounce Fafara's name very well.
Anyway, Delorme was... I think we had something in one of the Boxing News annuals 2 or 3 years ago, and I think a lot of the members of the editorial and other people in boxing besides had Delorme as one of the top prospects. Hasn't quite worked out that way for him. Crawford, massive favourite. What chance of the upset?
For me, he's a massive favourite because he's been so impressive, not just beating Ricky Burns, but the Gamboa fight, beating Ray Beltran, who I rate so comprehensively as lightweight, but there are a lot of unknowns. Is light welterweight going to be good for him? Can Delorme deal with quality technician like Crawford? Maybe he can, but I think actually not having to cut weight so much, Crawford looked big, so light welterweight could well be good for him.
Very quickly, we'd have spent far more time talking about Derry Matthews if he'd have been going in with Richard Brill for the WBA title.
He's now going in
for the interim WBA title against a fairly late replacement. I mean, interim WBA title to, I don't know, the slightly naive eye might carry a bit of weight. But I mean, the person I feel really, really sorry for in all this is Derry Matthews.
Yeah, even though this, with a short notice substitute, Richard Arbrill would be a really hard fight, but it's a proper world title
fight in
Liverpool, and that's what Derry Matthews lost, which is sad to see. And your campaign for Derry Matthews to get a world title fight has been
sabotaged.
Well, yeah, you have to restart it again.
Right. Okay. Listen, I'm really sorry to cut it short at this point. I do have to make tracks, but thanks everyone for listening. Remember, do go and check out the new Manny Pacquiao Floyd Mayweather microsite, www.fightofthecentury.co.uk. You can access it through our Boxing News site as well. Tune in next week and we'll bring you all the latest from the world of boxing. Thanks ever so much again. Take care and have a good weekend.